Currently, 83% of the American populace, when polled, thinks right now is a bad time to buy a house. Could 83% of the American populace be wrong? I think they could, and here's what I mean. Are you ready? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children 18 plus, you are tuned in to the Loan Officer Podcast with me, Dustin Owen, and my main man,
J.C.
John Coleman.
D.O., what is popping?
You, man.
No.
You're popping.
No, please.
In that neon yellow Nike hoodie, I almost couldn't spot you.
I had to dig deep in the closet for this one.
Did you dig deep in the closet, or did you dig deep at the Nike outlet over the
weekend? I mean, it looks like it because it's kind of, you know, when you buy stuff and at the time you think like, oh, this is fly, and then you put it on like 4 months, 4 years later, and you're like, what the hell was I thinking?
Yes.
That was one of these shirts.
Yes. I'm wearing the exact opposite shirt.
I know. You look
this
good
This shirt
in that.
Was a gift. It was a gift that we were going to Nashville. It's my Nashville shirt. In fact, it has the Tennessee flag on the back of it. Like a tiny tag. Like not like the flag.
The flag.
And yeah, I walked into the studio this morning. You're like, oh, I like your shirt. It's like the third time I've worn it. But every time I wear it, I get a compliment from someone that I respect like you.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, so you're wearing old ass clothes that you never wear. Nope. I'm wearing new clothes that I don't wear.
Yeah, so it sounds about right.
Yeah, sounds about right. And today's intro. Let me ask you a question. I noticed I was on T-Lop over the weekend. I was on the YouTube channel. I was on T-Lop. And I noticed, have we changed up our intro music?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that with some intentionality?
Yeah.
What happened?
No, and copyright is what happened.
Oh, seriously? Did someone reach out to us?
No. You know, YouTube be hitting you up, but, you know, I ain't trying to, you know, really go into litigation, so.
Okay.
I just changed it.
But we were asked not to use that music.
No, no, we can, but I just want to start phasing it out because, like, we're in a new phase of T-Lop, so I thought, like, why not throw it in? You know, sometimes they throw a new jingle in, your favorite Monday Night Football intro. I'm like, oh, I see what you guys did there. It's like the same thing.
Okay, so like we're Carrie Underwood. The old stuff was Hank Williams Jr.
Before both of them.
I don't think I remember Monday Night Football before the two of them. And it may even be like Sunday Night Football anymore because you know how when the networks flip-flop, all of a sudden the things I was used to seeing on Monday Night Football, I now see on Sunday Night Football.
Correct.
Okay, so what you're saying is that we are an evolving, growing organization.
Correct.
You are a evolving, growing professional.
Yeah.
And we're constantly looking for betterment.
Yeah.
And this is part of that betterment.
We'll still have the jingle like on your LinkedIn post and, you know, places where we won't get dinged for copyright.
But, okay. You know. That makes sense. You know? Look, at the end of the day, you're either growing or you're dying.
That's, yeah.
And our goal is to be a growing organization, and we're asking people to come grow with us.
That's positive reinforcement, Dustin, because if I were you, I'd be like, get the hell away from me.
Yeah, bro, did you see that guy on Instagram?
No. You know I didn't. I'm to the point. No. Like,
I wish I could remember his name. I'm gonna have to go back and find him because I want to give him some love.
Uh-huh.
He found one of our old reels. This is a clip from the show that you created into a reel and we posted.
Mm-hmm.
This dude has 1.3 million followers, and he used something that you created.
I guess so.
And he bespoke his commentary over it.
Yeah, that's huge.
And then he gave us credit.
That's amazing.
I was like, damn, bro, thank you.
In the field of creativity and creatives, like, that's our biggest form of payment.
You know, I had to go back and rewatch it three different times because at first I didn't know if he was taking the piss out of me or if he was, like, agreeing with us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you haven't lived in England if you don't know the term taking the piss. Making fun of somebody.
I know.
Okay. So I didn't know if he was making fun of us.
No.
You know, I was like, oh, check out these simps. Or if he was like, you know, throwing us some kudos. I think
it was kudos.
It was more kudos, less shade. Yeah. So shout out to that one dude. He's another pasty pale, bald white dude who is obviously crushing it.
Birds of a feather.
Yeah. He was crushing it with his content creation.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout out to my friends at Flat Branch Home Loans, by the way.
Shout out Flat Branch.
I had the opportunity to fly to Kansas City. I got to participate in their shareholders meeting. This is their annual conference.
Mm-hmm.
It's a two-day event. So they're one of those companies where they're an ESOP. That's an employee-owned company. Their founder, Jim, had sold the company to the employees a few years ago. But, I mean, everything from, I mean, Elena, Jamie, Dennis, Gina, Karen, like the list could go on and on. Bren, our friend Renee Rodriguez,
he was
also invited to come participate in the event. They're doing something really good there in the Midwest, like really good. I was mad impressed. So I told them all I would give them a a quick shout out. Ross, shout out to Ross. I'm actually Tracy. Like, someone's going to get pissed that I didn't shout them out, but I promise y'all, I had such a great time. I was honored to be a part of it. So thanks for the invite, and I look forward to next year's event. How about that? Just throw that one out there. I look forward to next year's event.
This is awesome.
But yeah, so let's jump into today's episode.
Good for you.
We have a lot on the plate.
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
Okay.
Like, one of those things that we have to get off the plate is booking our next TLOP exclusive. Tim Brahim, just going to name drop a little bit.
Oh, shit.
Legend in the mortgage industry. Someone I looked up to when I was getting into the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, someone that when I look at what we're doing at TLOP and I look at what he did at Loan Toolbox, I find some similarities. Yep, just going to go ahead and put it out there. We're pretty close to inking a commitment from Tim to come donate his time for all of the listeners and followers of TLOP. And he's someone that we want to learn from because he's been hella successful industry for decades and decades. So, but we won't bore them with that right now. We'll tease them with it.
Good job.
But what I do want to jump into, and home buyers, this is for you. Like, look at me. What is that? I am the captain.
Yeah, look at me.
I am the captain now. No, I'm not the captain at all. I'm somebody who takes information, disseminates it, and tries to reproduce it in bite-sized consumable chunks for your betterment. Okay, that's what I'm trying to do here. But there's been a lot of noise around, is now a good time to buy? In fact, we have an entire presentation. My partner, Mike Smalley, who crushes it in the mortgage industry. He's a who's who, a top 1% of the 1%ers.
Mm-hmm.
He was coaching a group of loan officers a couple weeks ago, and the whole entire presentation, it was like half the group was LOs, half the group was realtors. He had about 200 people on this call, and it was called The Cost of Waiting. And Mike is really what inspired me, because Mike had some great slides and he had some great information, some infographics. And it was eye-opening that 83% of the American populace, when polled, stated, yeah, now's not a good time to buy.
It's not right. The rates are too high, man. What the hell?
Yeah, they're waiting for the next housing market to crash. They're waiting for rates to come down. So they're waiting. Whatever waiting means, they're waiting. Now, I'm assuming if you're waiting, does that mean you move back in with mom and dad because you're not paying rent? Does that mean, like, what does waiting really mean? Because if you're waiting and you're paying rent, man, I don't know where you live. Well, I do know where you live.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where the listeners all live. But I can tell you this, rent ain't that much cheaper than owning, right? Meaning, like, if I wanted to go rent an apartment in Orlando, Florida,
mm-hmm.
and feel safe about where I live, feel proud about the neighborhood that I was a part of,
mm-hmm.
I'm probably dropping $2,000. It's probably $2,000 a month minimum just to get started.
So one bedroom, one bath unit. But yeah,
at least. That's not even talking about renting a house. You know, like if I wanted to go rent a home, that's probably $2,200, $2,300 on the beginning side of things before it gets to $3,000 or $4,000 a month. Okay, so the cost of waiting, I'm always baffled. I'm like, well, okay, what are you waiting on? So John, you would say, what would you be waiting on? Why would you not be buying real estate?
I would tell you honestly, if for me, and you can answer this question, I don't think I'm ready to buy a house, Dustin, because that seems really paperwork intensive. That seems like it's going to take a long time when I can just run up to this clubhouse in this apartment complex, hand them my ID, take a tour, and then the next day move into the apartment. So really, I'm kind of lazy, and I just, the fear of like doing all the work is what keeps me renting.
Okay, that's a great concern. It's also valid, and I'm sure a lot of people feel the same exact way. And I've never thought of it that way because I'm willing to exchange some of my time for money. I always am. I'm for sale. Like me as Dustin, I am for sale. Now, there's certain things that are $500 an hour. There's certain things that I'll do for $50 an hour. And some things it may be $5 million an hour based on the extreme ask. But normally, no, $500 an hour. That is what I'm looking to make for my time. So when I sit back and I think about, well, that paperwork that you're just, let's not call it lazy, so call it afraid to touch. I'm like, okay, but becoming a homeowner, statistically, and I have a bunch of notes written down, but homes have appreciated since, I don't know, let's just say 1942, John. Since 1942, homes have appreciated by, on average, 4.92%, and that takes into the years where they went down in value. Which, let me ask you this real quick. If you were to guess, over the past 70 plus years, do you know how many times homes have not gone up in value?
3 years.
Three times? Six.
Oh, okay.
So home ownership has taken an L six times out of the past 70 years.
That sounds like a winning record.
That's beyond a winning record. That is like...
Well, that's hard to say, winning record.
Winning record. Yes. Like, that puts the New England Patriots dynasty...
Never heard of them.
...to shame. Okay. There has been five times where it was a tie. It was an even Steven, 0%. But that means over 60 years out of the past 70 plus, like 72, 73, yes, homes have appreciated. And when you average that appreciation, it's 4.92%. So let's just round it down because I like to be safe. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't want to do a bunch of paperwork. You don't want to go buy that home for $300,000 or $400,000. Okay, what you're telling me is you don't want to earn 4% on 300. Okay, you don't want to earn $12,000, John. Like, 12 grand. How much work would you be willing to put in for 12 grand? Can I answer that for you? At a minimum, it should be at least 160 hours. Because 160 hours is 1 month's worth of working for someone else. And 160 hours is, what's that, 4 weeks times 40 hours a week. And if you could make 12 grand work per month, you're making $144,000 a year. So for many people, they're like, yeah, I would gladly put in 160 hours worth of work. Mm-hmm. Some people, maybe they're not worth 160 hours, maybe it's 80 hours. But like your thought of, I don't want to do that work, I would just ask you or someone like you, well, let's back into what is that really worth dollars? And then ask yourself that question. Because there's many people out there who make 50 bucks an hour, or 40 bucks an hour, and they start scratching their head. They're like, damn, of course I'll spend the 10 hours it's going to take for me to go through the pre-approval process, complete my loan application, find the documents that the bank or lender needs, submit them, attend closing. Of course, I'll spend an extra 40 hours looking at properties online, another 10 hours viewing those properties in person and drafting contracts, because when they start tallying up all the hours, they probably put 30, 40, 50 hours into it. And homeownership is going to help them generate $12,000-$15,000 a year in appreciation. So,
well, hey, that was a good, that was off the cuff too. So I like how we did that.
Yeah. So, I mean, good rebuttal, good reason not to do this, but it's not a good enough reason for me.
Well, what happens, because on the other side of the coin, it's just such an intimidating thing. Like, if I were to look at Mount Everest, exaggerating, and be like, I'll never be able to climb that, so let me just go over here on this bunny hill. Because it seems like an intimidating thing, so they just, instead of even trying to even start the marathon of buying a home, they just say, you know what, I'll never be able to do it anyway, so it's like a cage animal mentality.
It's like self-limiting beliefs.
Yeah, that's
okay, right. Look around you. Look at your peers, your ex-coworkers, your current coworkers, your friends, your family, the people you went to school with. How many of them have become homeowners? They're not better than you. Like, I think that's just a true self-limiting belief. And you talk to anyone who's run a marathon, they didn't start by running a marathon, right? They started by buying running shoes. They started by putting those running shoes on and then jogging around their neighborhood. What I'm getting at is it's a process. You don't just wake up and snap your fingers and you're a homeowner. Nope, you wake up, you make the decision that this is something you want to do, and you start exploring it. You go through the process and you go step by step. It's way less intimidating when you go step by step. My first step is I want to talk to a lender. I want to get my questions answered. I want to have the lender do a loose pre-qualification. Then through that loose pre-qualification, I have some of my initial concerns answered. Maybe I want to start backing in from a budget into a comfort monthly payment. Maybe I need to realize and learn how little or how much I'm going to need out of my pocket for down payment and closing costs. If I have bruised credit, maybe I need some direction on what I have to do to get that credit from below average to average. But yes, it's a process. And if the process takes someone 9 months or 18 months, that's okay, because we're talking about 30, 40 years of being able to generate wealth through real estate. And the answer I'd have to somebody is it's okay. We've all been there. I'm no smarter than they are. Therefore, they should be able to do everything that I've been able to do. In fact, they may be smarter than me. Therefore, they may be able to do things in a much faster timeline. When I started looking to buy my first house, I wasn't even in the mortgage industry. So I was still selling TV advertising. And I thought I was a qualified borrower. I had a 670 credit score. I thought that was good. By the way, that's like average. And I had $1,000 in the bank. And I thought I was rich because I had $1,000 in the bank. Yeah. And I had a job that I was going to make 100 grand 1 year, but not that year. It was 100% commission sales job. But I was excited that I had landed that job because it was a sought after position. And I probably got that job 2 or 3 years before I thought I normally would have when I looked at like the corporate ladder chart, if there ever was one. Like, here's how you climb the corporate ladder. Well, everything I was doing, I was advanced on. But I didn't buy my first house when that happened because I realized that although 670 is average, 720 is better. So I figured out what I had to do to get my credit score up. And I thought $1,000 was a lot of money, but I realized that was even like the minimum for barrier of entry. I needed $5,000. So then I went and took on a part-time job valeting cars so I could earn the extra $4,000. So it took me about 7 months before I got back after it. But within 7 months, and maybe it was nine, within that year, I did buy my first home, right? And it's, but you got to put yourself out there. So for anyone who is thinking the way that you're thinking, please take what I just shared as like a real personal story and understand that you're normal. You're ordinary. This is what it is like. Don't think of yourself anything less than ordinary or anything less than normal. And if this is something you want to do and you're at a place in your life where you think you're responsible, like you're a responsible adult, you can handle the responsibility of home ownership, then yeah, you have to start someplace. And once you have that starting place, then you can work and build forward.
Round of applause, Dustin. You, good job.
Wow, none of this was even in the notes,
it
JC.
Wasn't, but no. You know, that's what happens when you eat a, what did you have, an egg and tuna sandwich or some shit?
I had my egg salad sandwich. Yes, I brought
egg salad is disgusting.
I brought my lunch to work today for the first time in a couple
and
decades.
You see, look at you. You're not yourself, like a Snickers commercial.
Is that what it is? Yeah, it's just... truth be told, I love egg salad, but that's what you have to do when you have kids who dye Easter eggs and you have all these hard-boiled eggs in your refrigerator.
Come on.
Well, they either go in the compost or they get turned into egg salad. We turned them into egg salad.
Or you put them in mailboxes of people you don't like and let it fester. That's what you're talking about.
That works too. So let's slide back to like how I kicked off the episode. It's crazy to think that 80%, 83 actually, think that now's a bad time to buy. And I'm like, I don't get it. But what's really cool, and I haven't shared this yet with the audience, do you know historically, that number is 40%. Like when we look at the past 10 or 15 years of data, 40% of polled people think that now's a bad time to buy, which is asinine when we have data that goes back to 1942 that literally says homes have appreciated 60 plus years out of the past 70. There's been six times we took an L. And then there's been five times where things actually came out as at a net zero.
Yeah.
And by the way, these are national averages. Like there's always going to be pockets or certain markets that are doing better than others or that are doing worse than others. But when you look at the national average, the national statistics, these are the numbers. And it's absolutely crazy. Now, the good news is I was looking up some research over at Fannie Mae, right? So Federal National Mortgage Association, basically it's the big quasi-government conglomerate that purchases loans from lenders that offers liquidity into the marketplace. It's it's why the U.S. is able to have 30-year fixed mortgages and every other country in the world does not have 30-year fixed mortgages.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. Not Canada, not England, not South America, not South Africa, not Australia. Like they just don't have 30-year fixed mortgages. We do. It's because we have Fannie and Freddie. But Fannie and Freddie, not only do they offer amazing liquidity to the markets, they also offer research, data, and economic forecast. And you know, they were showing on a recent infographic that I saw, it was in January of 2023, 37% of America thought that home prices were going to go down.
What year was this?
This was a year and 3 months ago. This was January of 2023.
Okay.
So 37%, one third of those polled were wrong.
Wrong.
With, okay, there's always a couple exceptions.
Like outliers.
Yes. If you're in Boise, Idaho, and you're in Austin, Texas, those are two of the biggest markets where you could potentially be like, oh, you were wrong. But I can tell you this, because I just talked to a loan officer friend of mine in Charlotte, North Carolina, another loan officer friend of mine in Boston, Massachusetts, another friend of mine in Dallas, Texas. Like, no, they're like, yeah, they were dead wrong. Now, the good news is by December of 24, we dropped from it being over a third to just a quarter. So 24% of those polled thought that home prices were going to go down. Now, that said, if I pulled the five biggest economic forecasters, mm-hmm. the MBAs, the Fannie Mae's, the Goldman Sachs, the National Association of Realtors, Zillow, like Redfin, companies like that. When we're looking at home appreciation in 2024, on the very low end, the NAR, the National Association of Realtors, they were the least optimistic. They were calling for 1.4% appreciation. The most optimistic, you may have heard this company before, John.
Mm-hmm.
Goldman Sachs, maybe heard of them once or twice, like massive investment
house. I think all of America helped keep them afloat.
Yes. Well, 5.5%, that is their forecast for home appreciation in the U.S. So greater than the 4.92% we've been averaging over the past 70 years. Goldman's like, no, 5.5. 5.5. And people always want to know, but why is that? You know, my grandma or my dad or me, I lived through the, depending on where you are in life, mm-hmm. right? We lived through the bubble burst and the great recession.
Insert crisis here.
Yes. And I just comes down to, and I know we've talked about this over and over and over again, but it just came down to this. If I looked at homes currently listed on the market, well, in 2016, which by the way, that was a Goldilocks year. Everything was just right in 2016. We had 1 million homes in the market. Goldilocks.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, we're sitting around 500,000. So half of what Goldilocks was, we had this massive inventory shortage. The only way you could see a bubble burst is when you have way more supply than you do demand. We're not even close to that. We're inverse of that. We have more demand than we do supply. We could actually have more homes sell if we just had more homes for sale. So there's no statistics, there's no data that would even suggest another 2006, 7, 8 type bubble market.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you look at the type of loan products that are available, no. Like it back then, I lived it. Back then, if you had a pulse, if you could fog a mirror, you could get a home loan. And not only that, but you could get a home loan and finance it for the most part at 100%.
Damn it.
So there was people who didn't have the best history of paying their bills on time, didn't have the best history of holding down long-term stable employment,
mm-hmm.
were able to purchase not one home, not two homes, but 10 homes.
10, give me them all.
With minimal money out of their pocket. Like that type of hysteria created a bubble. At which point in 2008, if you looked at number of units for sale, we were well over 2 million. So of course it was going to burst. We had easy, free money that made everyone think they were the next rich dad, poor dad, millionaire next door real estate investor. And they didn't have any barriers of entry for financing. And all of a sudden, that house of cards came falling down. We don't have that. So that's always a myth that we have to like consistently dispel. Like we have to consistently like, y'all, there's a reason why that was a one-time economic event. Do you know why we didn't talk about COVID or something like COVID in 2010?
Because there was no COVID?
Yeah, or 1990 or 1970? Because there was none, right? So we lived through that COVID event, that worldwide pandemic, that hysteria.
Mm-hmm.
And in 10, 20, 30 years, let's hope that we don't have to go through what we went through, because it is one of those once in a lifetime events.
So I have a question for you. I've heard you say this ad nauseum about there's no housing bubble, and you've explained it pretty well. So just to help like entertain me, what are the people that are saying there is a housing bubble? Like what are their like points of reason?
None. It's typically people who aren't in the know. The purpose of this show is truly to give people information so it's bite-sized, it's digestible, and so that they can learn, right? So you could be a home buyer, 100% this is for you. But what about real estate agents? What about mortgage professionals? What about people who work in homeowners insurance or in the title industry? Yes, this episode is for you because you need to take this information and push it out to anyone who may be ill-informed. It just comes down to being ill-informed. I mean, it's very much someone sitting back and waiting for the aliens to come and take over.
That's me, though.
Okay, cool.
They're already here.
Yeah, I don't know what evidence you have of that, and you know, and whether or not it's gonna be good or bad for the human race. Mm-hmm. But it sounds cool, and it's fun to believe in.
So it's like people that say it's more like clickbait then, like, oh, there's a bubble, and then you come down to the thing, by the end of the article they're talking about something completely
different. We're always going to have our conspiracy theorists. Now, you know, there's always economic events. I mean, when COVID was happening, I remember one of my managing partners coming into my office saying, this is it. This is the end of the road. We're never going to do enough loans to pay our bills. We're going to have to lay off all of our staff. Home prices are going to absolutely get crushed. This is it. Like, world is ending. Well, anyone who lived through it, or the exact opposite happened. Or the exact topic. Now, maybe that's because of, not even maybe, it was due to government intervention. It was due to the fact that we all figured out how to work from home and how to consume online and, you know, how to utilize things like DoorDash and Uber Eats, mm-hmm. and restaurants had to shift, and all of a sudden they were still able to make their food, but we had to come pick it up and wear a mask while we got it. And grocery stores still produced groceries, but we had to have them delivered and they were put out. I mean, like, mm-hmm. we did all those crazy things, but there are those worldly events. I mean, if the U.S. got drug into a war a la a world war or a Vietnam type war, could that have some kind of an impact? You know, what is AI going to do? Who knows, right? But we're not putting that back in the box. So we're going to have to figure out how to live with it. So there's always the unknown. But when I'm looking at the known, when I'm looking at 70 plus years of data, rarely has it made sense to wait. Like, the cost to waiting, there's a massive cost. The benefit to waiting, rarely is there a benefit. With, like, one exception. Like, if someone said, I need to wait because, I start thinking about, what's the because? Well, because I need to get my credit score up. Okay, that just means you weren't ready. Because I need to make sure I'm more solid in my employment situation. Okay, that tells me you weren't ready. I need to save more money. That just tells me you weren't ready. But if you're ready, both in life and career, financially, and you're wanting to wait, every time I run the numbers, I cannot come up with the math that tells me where waiting made sense. And I'm going to share some of that math with people. Okay, the first math I want anyone to understand, and these are, like, you can look this up, and I'm going to shout out to my friends over at Keeping Current Matters, loan officers. Their product is called Bridge Builders. You should check it out because they daily post really good content, informational content that is pro-housing, and they have the math to back it up. But they recently had an infographic. The spread between someone who owns a home versus someone who doesn't own the home as it pertains to their net worth. What do you think that spread is? Like, do you think it's like, oh, people who own homes are 10 times more wealthy than people who don't own homes? Or are they 5 times more wealthy? Or are they 20 times more wealthy? Like, where do you think they are? People who own versus people who don't own.
You're not allowed to gamble yet in Florida, like sports bet, so unless you go to the Hard Rock. So,
oh, does that mean you're not going to bet me? You're not going to answer?
Spread, and I was like, let's go with 65%, Alex.
65 times. I mean, yeah, if I did 65%, we'd have to, like, reverse engineer that one.
I
told
you, I suck at gambling.
What? Okay. Yeah, so I would just give it to you.
65 times.
Yeah, more. 40 times.
Oh, okay. I was in debt.
40 times.
That's a lot, though.
Yeah, so think about this. The average renter, their net worth is $10,000. That's the average renter. The average homeowner, their net worth is $396,000.
That seems like a lot more.
Yeah, it's just about 40 times more.
Oh, shit.
So when someone's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to wait, there's a difference between waiting when you're ready or just not being ready. Because many of us, I had to wait a year because I wasn't ready. I didn't wait because I was trying to time the market. Like, you don't time the market. This is not what we do. We're not day traders. Okay, like, when I invest in my 401k, do you think I'm trying to time the market?
No.
Nope, I'm dollar cost averaging that shit. You know what that means?
Hell no.
Here's a terminology for you. Dollar cost average just means I invest every month systematically because I'm not trying to time the market. I'm just, if I buy in January, I buy in February, I buy in March, April, May, June, all 12 months, then whatever price I paid in January plus the price I paid in March plus June plus July, divide that by 12, that's my dollar cost average. So I wasn't trying to time the market because I'm saving for retirement. I'm not looking to retire for at least another 10 to 15 years. So this money that I'm putting away, does it really matter to me if it goes up or down today, tomorrow, or even next year? The answer is no, it doesn't matter. So I dollar cost average. I don't try to time the market. I'm just like, nope, I'm just going to buy it systematically. I'm going to invest systematically. Well, when I'm looking at those people who are trying to purchase a home, you don't try to time the market. You don't wait for rates to come to a certain or wait for home prices to come to a certain. If you're ready, you're ready. You pull the trigger. So I'm running some math. If someone purchased a home today for $400,000, they put their 5% down, that's 20 grand, and they took a mortgage out, and let's say their interest rate was 7%. Their principal and interest on that is going to be roughly 25, 28, roughly, like in that ballpark, right? $2,528 a month. Now, if they waited till next year, there's a good chance if things go their way, which, by the way, that's a big unknown. For the past 2 years, we've been predicting mortgage rates to go down. Last year, they went up about this time. And currently this year, we've already had to retract our predictions on when rates would go down to, nope, higher for longer. We did a whole entire episode on that. We're still preaching it, higher for longer, higher for longer. Okay, but this big assumption, okay, if or when rates go down, let's assume they did go down. So good news is that person, next year, their rate wouldn't be 7%, it'd be 6%. And they'd have to buy the house for $415,000 instead of $400,000, right? Because roughly the home's going to go up by 4%. 4% of 400 grand is 16,000. I just rounded it down to 415. And if they put their 5% down on 415 and they finance the rest at a 6% rate, I have good news for them. Like, high five, bro. Good news. That mortgage payment that I said was going to be 2528, it's now 2363. You just saved $165 a month. Good job, you.
Yeah.
Good job. You waited and it benefited you. You're the winner.
Yeah.
Or are you?
Dummy, you know, I saved $100 by switching to Geico.
Okay, maybe you did that too. Let's say you saved $100 by switching to Geico.
Yeah.
That's still the $165 a month savings that you picked up by waiting.
Yeah.
Plus the $100 you picked up by switching to Geico.
Dummy.
You gave up $15,000 of home appreciation.
Yeah, but wait, hear me out.
Yeah, but wait, hear you out. Like, I mean, so in what world would you ever want to exchange $15,000 and in return to gain $2,000? Unless you're on the craps table with me, at which point I'm a professional loser.
Horn high, yo.
On the craps table.
Horn high.
If you want to have a good time and lose a bunch of money and get free drinks while doing it,
Hang out with me. Table.
But like, I don't know why somebody would ever want to raise their hand and say, yeah, I would love to save $200 a month on my mortgage payment. Not even 200, it's like 165. I called it 200 because I'm throwing in your Geico savings. but I want to do that. And in return, I'll give up $15,000 in appreciation. Because guess what? That home's going to be worth by the end of year two.
What is it going
to be? 430.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So even if you kept that same mortgage, and even if you, but by the way, you're more likely not going to keep the same mortgage. If you bought at 7 and rates dropped to 6, you're refinancing.
Yep.
9 times out of 10, you are refinancing your mortgage. And even if that refinance cost you 5 or 6 grand, it's still well worth it based on the equity that you're accumulating over time. So I can't find a reason where someone could sit down with me and say, hey, Dustin, it's going to make sense for me to wait because the math isn't in waiting. But let's say someone did. Let's say someone waited 2 years. Because this is kind of cool, crazy math. You could see where someone could get a little sideways with it. If you waited 2 years and that same $400,000 house you're now buying for $430, but instead of getting a 6% rate today, a 7% rate today, a 6% rate in a year from now. What if in 2 years from now you got 5.5%?
Yeah, dummy. I timed the market and you're hella wrong, Dustin.
Cool. So now your mortgage payment's 2320 instead of 2528. That is a difference of roughly $200 a month.
Yep, I win.
Do you win?
I don't know.
I mean, you gave up $30,000 in appreciation.
What?
$30,000 so you could save $200 a month?
What?
$2,400 a year. In what world would you ever want to just give up $30,000 in exchange for two? And if so, if that's how you like to do business, can I please make you a client of mine? And it's like telling a kid, hey, I'm going to give you four $10 bills.
Yes, done.
And you give me one of your $100 bills.
Sold. I have more.
And the
more
kid's like, yeah.
I have more bills than you, dummy. I win.
Correct. That's about the same argument. It's basically trying to steal from a 3 or a 4 year old, yeah. Except for people are voluntarily raising their hand saying, yeah, you can come steal from me.
So I know this math. So basically you're calling 30 to 45% of people who aren't ready to buy children.
I mean, they think that way. Yeah, and it's really,
you think like a child.
Yes, yeah. Their thought process is just not, it's one of those, it's difficult to make a decision if you're not informed. It's difficult to make a decision if you don't have the math in front of you or the science, the data. Mm-hmm. We live in the information age. Like, we have data that backs this up. You can get out your Excel spreadsheet. We can run the numbers. We haven't even geeked out. Like I mentioned Mike Smalley earlier, because he does this whole class, this whole presentation. And maybe we can convince him to come do it for the TLOP community one day. But he does this whole presentation where he even factors in what if you were renting. Because rent's going up, by the way, by 4% per year. So your $2,000 this year is $2,080 next year. It's $2,200 a year after that. So if you don't buy, when you buy, you at least lock in that payment. Like, you're locking in your principal and interest payment. Yeah, sure, your taxes and insurance will fluctuate a little bit. Eventually, you'll drop your mortgage insurance, and that means your mortgage payment goes down. But maybe your HOA dues go up. But these are all expenses that you're going to have regardless of if you paid cash for the house or whether you got a mortgage. And the same thing applies when you're renting. You have renter's insurance and, you know, you have various costs that go up and down, but rent goes up. So Mike can really geek out on people just using an Excel spreadsheet, let alone there's loan officers out there that use Dave Savage's product, Mortgage Coach, and they crush it doing total cost analysis with people. We're not even getting into that. This is just a, hey, y'all, these are the numbers. You get to make that choice. You today get to sit down and decide, am I going to let myself stay ill-informed and make irrational decisions based on not having the information? Or do I want to be one of those people that recognizes that 60 out of 70 years, my home's going to go up in value, and the 10 years it doesn't go up in value. And by the way, this is if history repeats itself. But if history repeats itself, of the 10 years that it doesn't, okay, so 5 or 6 years, my home will go down in value, but then 5 or 6 years, my home will stay the same. If I want to be wealthy in this country, I do so through home ownership. Don't take Dustin Owens' words for it. Don't take John Coleman's grunts for it. Like, literally, like, look at the statistics. It's renters have $10,000 on average in net worth, and homeowners have over $396,000 in net worth because they became a homeowner.
Well said.
Yeah. So hopefully there's someone who is tuning in, and either you needed to hear this.
Yeah.
Maybe your adult children needed to hear this.
No.
Maybe you're a real estate agent and you have a lot of clients or potential clients who need to hear it.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're a loan originator and you have clients and realtors who need to hear this. But this is the data. This is the information. I don't have anything to sell you. Like, I'm not a home builder. I'm not selling homes. I can help you with the mortgage because I have a ton of friends in the industry. I can help you find a great realtor because I have a ton of friends from coast to coast who sell real estate for a living. So if you are that person, you're like, hey, I don't know where to start. The good news is you stumbled across this episode. You stumbled across our YouTube channel. Reach out to us. Our job is to be connectors. Our job is to point you in the right direction. We can at least get you started. But doing nothing, rarely has doing nothing ever paid off. And I think that's where I'd leave it at.
I like your delivery when you wear shirts like that.
Is that what it is?
It is more freedom, because when you wear that with your CMB pin and you have your Tom James suit.
Well, John, I'm taking your direction as we get more intentional in 2024, and I'm trying to dress more low-key.
Good for you, Dustin. It's a good look.
I think it's working. Dude, I love the clips when I'm wearing my camo hoodie,
yeah,
and I have my baseball hat on.
You were self-conscious about it. It was like, how do I look? I don't know. And I was like, shut up.
Yeah, it looked good.
Shut up, Nancy.
And by the way, if you don't know what we look like, it's because you haven't gone over to our YouTube channel. Make sure you go into the TLOP YouTube channel, TLOP, subscribe.
Yeah.
Loan officers, if you're not receiving our free weekly newsletter, like, listen, I write that shit. Like, me, Dustin Owen, writes that
with
every
words.
Single week with my own words. I don't even use ChatGPT. Make sure you're subscribing to it. You do so by going to our website. John, what's our website?
TLOPonline.com.
TLOPonline.com. And loan officers, if you're not investing in your business, then what are you investing in? You are that product. Y'all need to find a really good coach or a coaching community to be a part of. If you don't have one, if you need one, look our way. We have the TLOP MLO coaching community. It's the best investment you can make in your business. Dollar for dollar, there's nothing out there better. You can find out all of those details on TLOPonline.com. And keep coming back and checking for more, because we'll tell you where we're going to be speaking at next live, when our next free webinar is. And we'll continue to take your request, and we'll create the content that you want to learn more about. He's John Coleman. I'm Dustin Owen. That is all the time we have for you today. We do look forward to catching you on the next episode. Peace.